What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the PlayStation Drive over here on Carpool Gaming. My name is Matt, and I'll be your wonderful driver for this long, adventurous event. I'm joined, as always, by Captain Canada, the Supreme Court of Canada himself, Mr. Court Lalonde. What's going on, Court?
Hey, buddy. I feel like I've been glued to this chair today.
I feel like, was it super glue, gorilla glue? What kind of glue stuck you in that chair?
Well, I had to do the Square Enix Farm Simulator showcase this morning, and then we just got to watch a, honestly, I did not see God of War coming. Did not at all. I'm happy we got to see it. I was very shocked that we didn't get a whole blow up, because usually what they've done is they've done a whole state of play to the one game, but, it looks awesome. It looks awesome. I just want to talk about God of War. That's all I can think about right now.
I know, right? I feel like we're still going to get the full-blown God of War state of play at some point in time. Or who knows, maybe we won't. But we will save that for the rundown of the state of play. Before we do that, we need to clean the garage. There is just stuff everywhere. We haven't cleaned it in a week. You know, we have to do regular upkeep for this garage. If you're watching on YouTube.com right now, make sure you please like, subscribe, and share. We appreciate it all very much. It helps us grow and get to even more places, just like if you're listening to us on your podcast service of choice. Make sure you subscribe or follow. Hit us with that 5 stars. Leave us a lovely review, and we will probably read them out sometime soon. Again, it helps us reach so many more people so that they can listen to us banter on about all the many PlayStation things. Also, if you have extra bucks to toss our way and tip your drivers, head over to patreon.com/carpoolgaming. If you put dollars into the tip jar, out comes a cornucopia of content. And with Thanksgiving right around the corner, what's a better way to spend time with your family than over a cornucopia of carpool content? But without further ado, we have plenty of news to talk about. But first, Court, to set the mood. You know, you and I, we've been doing this show together for a little bit now. It's episode 69. We got to set the mood. We got to light the candles, you know. We got to get some nice slow jams going. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop on Google. I'm going to type best songs to celebrate the 69th episode of the PlayStation Drive 2. I'm going to search for that.
No. We're going to see how we do it. It's already been done.
All right, tell me.
This is how we
Please
do
tell
it.
Me.
Best song. This is how we do it.
How do we do it?
This is how we do
it. I don't know. What do we do?
Oh, forget it.
What's on the playlist? What have you been playing, Court?
I told you before, so I platinumed right before our last episode. I platinumed The Last of Us, and I started playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and I was really getting into it. And then I don't know what it was. I was in a weird space this weekend, and I didn't play any video games all weekend long. I've been playing Disney Dreamlight though with my daughter exclusively there on a go. Daily basis. And this morning, on Monday morning, I turned on MLB The Show.
And then?
I was like, I'm not going to play this game anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have been playing it every day since.
Yep.
I just completed the program. That's how much I've played in the last couple days. It's only Tuesday. And I grinded the living daylights of the game the last 2 days.
Well, there you go, man. Sometimes it just, those little hooks is all it takes, Court. I know, you know, you were feeling a little bit MLB'd out. You were feeling a little bit less showy lately because of The Last of Us. But there you go. It just grabbed you and pulled you back in. It hit a home run in your heart.
Disney Dreamlight Valley? That is an awesome game.
I keep hearing it. I started it and played it for like 5 minutes and just got distracted by other things. But I really want to spend some time with it because it looks dope.
It's a lot of fun. We just got Moana. So my daughter is extremely happy, and she found some dress that she gets to wear.
Yes.
It's just been great watching her. This is the first game where she's had to... I tell her what the quest is, and then she goes and does it. Like, most of the games I've played are from outright with her, and it's just go here, go there, do this. Mm-hmm. This she's doing quests, and she knows how to do it, and she wants to get things done, and it's really awesome watching her figure all this out.
That's amazing, dude. I'm so glad that she's kind of, you know, growing into it more and more, and I'm glad that you know, it seems like Dreamlight Valley really hit at the right time for her, so heck yeah, I'm glad she's enjoying it. As for myself, I finally finished Last of Us Part 1. I finished the couple hours that I had left and then ripped through Left Behind right after. Still absolutely adore it. Still had a fantastic time. Left Behind, I don't know why, dude. Like, going into it, I thought I remembered it being exclusively Riley and Ellie in the past. And then I forgot what kind of, you know, that this is kind of placed in and the grander events around it. Again, I won't spoil it because... you know, maybe people haven't gotten to it just yet. But what a fantastic piece of DLC. I would argue one of the best. Like, what a fantastic piece of DLC.
Yes, I would still say my number one is BioShock 2, Minerva's Den. That's the best ever, to me, DLC. But this is, not everybody agrees with me, I still think that Left Behind should have just been put into the story, because I really feel like it was a very integral part of the story, and I thought it would be a good buffer halfway through the game to have this part come in at that part. But yes, it is a phenomenal storytelling. It captivates you. And to be honest, the ending of it, it's very hard.
Yeah, it is.
It is very hard, that ending.
It gets tough. It took me a couple tries to kind of make it through. But yeah, no, I have to say, I've never played BioShock. I've only ever played Infinite, so I haven't tried Minerva's Den. But I hear about it that it's fantastic.
It wasn't. Hold on. Mm. I played the game Yakuza Zero because And what game were you supposed to play?
Assassin's Creed Origins. Is it on the service yet? Because last time I checked, it wasn't.
But you know what? I'm changing it. Go play BioShock.
Is that on the service?
It's shorter, and I think you're just... It's like $5, dude.
I'll find it. Okay, I'll play BioShock. I've always meant to. I've just never gotten around to it.
Oh my God, that's a beautiful game.
And then I've been playing something else that I can't talk about just yet, but we'll talk about that a little bit down the line in another episode, in another date, in another... hopefully not life, but we'll see what happens. Let's let's slam the brakes, dude, because we have a bunch of breaking news. And without further ado, let's start with the big one. Let's start with the one that we just finished watching and live reacting to. PlayStation State of Play just went down for September 2022. We went from announcement yesterday to, you know, streaming it today, which is why the episode of the PlayStation Drive this week is nice and early, because, well, you know, State of Plays. Let's run through some of the things that were announced, and then Court and I will kind of let's comment on each one as we go, because we don't have a ton of announcements, but we have some cool stuff. Before we get into the nitty and gritty, Court, what did you feel about the State of Play as a whole?
I felt it was perfect for 20 minutes for what we got out of it. I'm still shocked that it was announced so early the day before, but I think from what I'm reading on the social media, it had a lot to do with the Queen passing away, that they didn't want to put out a press release during that, and it would have happened like that day or something like that.
Yep.
But I love the fact that they had a variety of games. They set expectations before. Everybody's going to get blown out of proportion and think they're going to be getting something awesome. We'll probably get the crazy things that we haven't heard of, like stuff like the Game Awards, but we got to see God of War at the end, and honestly, I was really excited about that Star Wars VR mission game. Like, that looks great.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty happy with it. Again, I think them saying from the jump, it's going to be 20 minutes, this is what the focus is. I like that they've started doing that, just because, again, it sets expectations. You don't have anything wild going out, or anything that does surprise us, like, you know, God of War coming at the end, is a nice surprise, the way that it's meant to be, instead of setting expectations, you know, wildly and then just kind of ramping up hype. I'm glad that, you know, we got an announcement yesterday, turn around and hit today. 20 minutes, tight, quick. There was nothing overstayed its welcome. I think, you know, do I wish it was longer? Of course. Do I wish it was a showcase? Of course. But I'm really happy with the way that the pacing and the way and, you know, everything that we got. Let's talk about some of these wonderful announcements, Court. We started off with Tekken 8, which was officially revealed. We did not get a release date. It just said, you know, get ready for more. I'm assuming we're going to see more of this at TGS this upcoming weekend. This personally doesn't do too much for me. I think it looks really, really pretty. Not a big Tekken guy, but Court, did this move the needle for you? It
does nothing, but that's fine. I looked at it just like after watching the Nintendo Direct this morning. There's always a game that's not for me, or there's always a game for everybody else. So if you can take out of a direct three games that you're looking forward to, then it did its job. Mm-hmm. Like that's exactly what I took out of this. I got like three or four games out of this PlayStation that I wanted to watch. I was like, oh, that's a game I want to play. So that's what it's all about. Because if someone can find a direct or one of these presentations that they like every game, go buy a lottery ticket.
Seriously. You kind of nailed it on the head there, because there was a lot going on. And again, there won't be something... There isn't... This game personally wasn't for me, but again, I enjoyed what it was. We got some PSVR 2 stuff announced. Demio was one of them. This was like the cooperative dungeon crawling survival game, as IGN has put it. Coming to PSVR 2, it has like a tabletop-esque world. You can roll dice, you can dish out cards. Co-op is, I didn't realize it was co-op. It's cool that you, you know, you'll be able to play with this with someone. PSVR 2, Demio. And we also got a Star Wars game. That I cannot recall the name of. Let me just update this IGN article as it gets updated to see if we got anything more about it. Not just yet. But there was also a Star Wars game, fully VR. It looks like it has a story. It has the character from the Clone Wars that I'm struggling to remember the name. But, Court, what did you think of Star Wars and Demio for PSVR 2?
I am very, very intrigued on PSVR 2. I guess I'm like the only person that never really got to experience PSVR 1. Like I literally had it for a whole 15 minutes at my house because I picked it up for a friend and then never touched it again. So for me, I'm very excited to jump into any of these experiences. I'm not looking forward to full-fledged games. I think that'll be tough for me to do in a full-fledged VR game, but I'm so down for these experiences. I'm hoping, my hope is that we get a God of War experience. We get a Ghost of Tsushima experience. Like, if we can get a VR mission where I can just throw the Leviathan axe and then it comes back into my hand, sign me up. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that that's what we get from stuff like this. The Star Wars thing looks great.
It does.
But I do know, talking to friends who had VRs, that some people have found it very tough to play a full-fledged game in VR still. But this is a new version of it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I still struggle with, like, spending more than I would say. I think the longest I've ever played was probably for about an hour, and that was something like Beat Saber or Super Hot. Anything with, like, locomotion that requires movement, I tend to get motion sick faster. And again, like, there is, you know, ways to kind of circumvent that a little bit. You do have to kind of build it up. There are, like, you kind of, like, sea legs, you have VR legs that you have to, like, build yourself up to. But just to kind of talk a little bit more about the Star Wars, it's called Star Wars Tales from Galaxy's Edge Enhanced Edition. Apparently, it's an award-winning VR experience from Lucasfilm's ILMX Lab, which was rebuilt to take advantage of the hardware. So I think this is one of the ones that you can maybe experience at Galaxy's Edge if you actually go there. And now,
well, speaking of that, mm-hmm. I'm going there in 2.5 weeks.
There you go.
I am literally going to Galaxy's Edge. I can't be more excited about this. So if it is there, I'll let you know because I will be there.
There you go. You got to check it out. And Hondo. Hondo was a character's name from the Clone Wars. Love that character. So many cool little things. I'm really, really excited about this. Demio looks cool. Looks interesting. I'm excited to kind of check out a little bit more of it. The next thing that we kind of rolled into, which got me incredibly, incredibly hyped, Yakuza Ishin, like they've down named it Like a Dragon Ishin, is a full-on remake of the game that came out in the early 2010s. It came out on the PS3 and the PS4, but it never actually came to North America and Europe. It basically takes the Yakuza cast, sends them back to Edo, and basically reimagines them as samurai living in that time. It's been a game that people have been asking for a long time to get the kind of remake treatment like they've done with Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2. So it's awesome to see that we're finally getting this, you know, stateside. I cannot wait. This is one of the games. This was easily the highlight of the entire state of play for me, just because, again, it's a game that I've been wanting to play for quite a while now. And the fact that we're getting a full-blown remake amps me up. And Court, I know, you know, Yakuza, you tried to get into Yakuza 0, wasn't really for you, but you did say you're curious to check this one out. What about this trailer sold you on it more than...
It's the samurai part.
Yeah.
It's the going back in time. I love that setting. Like I said, Ghost of Tsushima is literally one of my top 10 games I've ever played in my life. That's anything in that setting, I'll give it a try and see if I like it. Just movies, TV shows, just give me as much samurai as possible.
Yeah, I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. And we got a release date of February 2023, so it is pretty imminent. I love how RGG Studios does that. They're great at being like, here's something that's coming soon. And of course, we're getting their showcase in a couple days, so I'm sure we'll learn more about the game there, possibly see a little bit more gameplay. Cannot wait. That was easily the highlight for me. We got a new Hogwarts Legacy trailer. Looked cool. I don't really think it did anything too new, but it looked cool.
Yeah, it showed a little bit more of the Room of Requirement, and it showed a little bit more inside Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about this game, but at the same time, I actually didn't like this trailer and thought it was like I didn't really think it was needed. It was almost like they're death looping this game, where they're just showing us over and over and over and over and over and over and over of this game. The amount of times I've seen video of people online be like, new footage from Hogwarts Legacy. I'm just like, all right, man, just let me play the game now. Like, I don't need any more footage. And if this game isn't coming out till February, that means we're getting another state of play with this in it.
And you know, we're gonna see another trailer at the Game Awards. I so funny you said they're death leaping it, because that was literally what was running through my head, and that was the next point I was gonna make. I feel like I've seen enough of this game for now, with it being still 6 months out.
I'm agreeing with you.
I think they should just kind of leave it be. Hit us with that direct the state of play that you know you're gonna get, the Hogwarts Legacy focused state of play in January, to drum up a little bit last second hype, and just leave it be until then. Sadly, they're not gonna do that. The next game that we got was Pacific Drive. It looks like a survival driving game where you were in a forest. There was like lightning crashing down. Things were falling all over the place.
I just in my head. Oh no, mother,
death. I don't know what that means.
Oh my God! Seriously, Sean. I hope you're in the chat. Like. I just sang live lightning crashes and he did not know what it was.
I don't know what that is. But I thought this, I don't know, dude. I'm undecided on this. I think it like visually looks interesting, but I don't know. It looked fine. Any feelings about Pacific Drive?
I'm hoping that that's one of those. I was very surprised. I'll start off by saying I was very surprised we didn't see any, day and date on PlayStation Plus type things.
Yes.
This screams day and date on PlayStation Plus.
Very much so. And again, it's not a knock on the game, but there's just something about it that I just don't think we saw enough of it, honestly, of what the game actually plays like and what it actually looks like. But if it ends up being anything interesting, you know, we'll keep you posted. We got some more information about PlayStation Stars, confirming that it's going to be rolling out in Asia at the end of September, with the North America and European markets following a few weeks later. So I'm guessing sometime mid-October.
We got a live blog post.
We got some digital... like the digital collectibles that you'll be able to do. I don't know what the point of this is.
NFTs. I think you're right on the ball there.
NFTs. They're non-fungible PlayStations. Non-fungible PlayStations.
I don't know. It was kind of bungus to me. I was really hoping that we were going to get stuff. You remember when we used to platinum games back in the day and you'd get that email from PlayStation, like, here's your custom theme and your icon and all that. Can I have those days back?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what they're trying to do with it, honestly. Like, I don't understand the appeal of collecting these things unless there's some, like, reason, you know what I mean, to collect these collectibles.
Are they, like, cheat codes in a game when you play it? Or
And that's what I mean. Is it, you know, does it give you a discount on something? Does it, you know, unlock something somewhere? For me, this is just a really big question mark. I just don't see the point of it at this rate.
And then the fact that they even put it in the showcase, it's like, to them, it's very important. PSVR 2 gets a blog post. PlayStation Plus, blog post. But PlayStation Stars, digital trophy things, nope, we're putting it in a showcase.
So evidently, reading from the PlayStation blog, once you've earned them, you can arrange them in a virtual display case within the PlayStation app and then display the collectibles to your PSN profile to friends.
Why? Who asked for this? I feel like this is PlayStation Home all over again, and
I don't know. I know we were curious about the program when it was announced. The more we learned, the more confused I get. Like, I thought that there would be more incentive to do these things outside of here is an essentially an NFT. I feel like they kind of invested too much into this idea, and then it was too late to pull out. I think this is going to go the way episode 69. I think this is going to go the way of those. What was the last, those online accolades? I feel like this is going to be those all over again. This thing's going to be dead in 6 months unless they like really overhaul it. Can you get points that you can use towards discounts or whatever? Like, they need to do something more here than like, here's an Ape Escape hat.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
We got a new Bandai Namco exclusive called Sin Duality. It showed some mechs running around what looked like a really pretty world. It showed some combat. They were harvesting some different things. This didn't really do too much for me. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. It's one of those things that I'll have to see more for it to make a decision on, especially because, again, the art style and everything about the way that the game looks should be very much me. Just not sold on the gameplay. But, Court, anything for you?
It's not a game for me, but, you know. I'll try anything at this point. It didn't make me go, oh, this is a highlight from the show.
So, and I'm going to bring this next game in here. Project Eve, which we saw at last year's PlayStation Showcase, got a new name under Stellar Blade, and that it's going to launch in 2023. Court, we know that Sin Duality and Stellar Blade are PlayStation console exclusives. Do you think either one of these, if not both, hits PlayStation Plus, whether it be extra or premium day and date?
I'm hoping so. Like, I really hope that PlayStation's going to go the route that Xbox does and they can get some third party or some exclusives that are coming to their service. Because if they're just going to be giving us games that have already been out, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yep. And that's what I mean. Like, this, to me, is just kind of like, both of these games, like, look cool. Like, Stellar Blade, like, looks visually interesting. The art style is cool. I was laughing because her hair was just clipping through everything, including her. Absolutely no control over that ponytail. But, like, again, like, it looks cool. Am I going to rush out to play it? Probably not. This will probably be one of those, wait till it hits the service. If it's not day and date, if it's day and date, I'll try it out. But neither one of these games really sold me on, you know, what they are. But one that I am more excited about, we found out that Team Ninja is making a PS5 exclusive called Rise of the Ronin. You play a Ronin. It looked like this beautiful open world that you'll be running around. It's an action RPG. We saw, you know, the character flying on, like, what looked like, you know, like the Avatar style little flight suit.
Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, it looks like a combination of Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's Creed, and Nioh all kind of mixed together. I love that Quartz's reaction was, this game looks, this Team Ninja, that means this game is hard, which is...
Yeah, that's these are facts.
Yeah,
this game is going to be punishing.
Yeah, this game probably excited me the most in terms of, like, a new IP that we got. It does look cool, and again, you're probably right, it probably will be tough. But how did you feel about Rise of the Ronin?
It looked really cool, but I know that it's going to hurt me, so I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. I'm
I don't got time for hurt me games. They're just not my thing.
And that's the thing. For me, this one probably is higher on my list in terms of games I actually want to check out. I'm excited to see more of it. Hopefully, you know, we get more of it, because I'm sure we will with the launch of 2024. We got a window. It's quite a ways out. So, you know, please be excited. I'm sure we're going to see it.
It's going to be 2025.
Yeah, we're probably going to see it another 70 times between now and then. Or we'll see none of it at all until right before release. I'm hoping that way. And then, of course, we ended with another look at God of War, along with a themed DualSense controller. We saw a little bit more gameplay, including more enemies and some massive, that looks like absolutely huge set pieces. Let's start with the DualSense court. We've been asking for PlayStation to do more stuff like this, and they're finally at least giving us a custom controller. What do you think of the look?
I'm actually surprised they didn't just give us plates for our console. Mm-hmm. I think this is a total missed opportunity, especially I think Xbox has done a way better job with custom controllers and exclusive controllers. For me, this not being a DualSense Edge is just like, okay, I don't need another. I have four controllers now because I have the two consoles. Yeah, I know. I sit on my pile of PlayStations.
Your throne?
Yeah, my throne of PlayStations. I would rather covers for my console, mm-hmm. so I put them on, or a new DualSense Edge that is a God of War and more to it. Because if you think about just the Halo Edition
Xbox Series X?
Xbox Elite controller, Xbox Series 2 controller. That thing is unbelievably awesome looking. This was just like a two-tone with a logo in the middle. Honestly, meh. I'm a meh on this controller. It's just a meh for me.
Really? I actually really like the look. I like the purple. I do like the little wolves on the inside, you know, on the trackpad. I think this looked really cool, but I'm with you. I wish that this should have been a controller, whether it be the DualSense or the DualSense Edge, alongside plates. Like, it would have been such an easy sell to have both of these things, buy one, buy the other, or make a bundle with the two of them together. I just don't know what they're doing with the plates. Like, it seems like such a half-baked idea. They're like, yeah, let's put out like four colors and see what happens. This would have been a perfect time to release some special edition God of War Ragnarok plates. And I'm really surprised that they didn't. I'm happy that we're at least getting a DualSense. I hope this trend continues, but yeah, I think you're right in terms of a little bit disappointing that we didn't get anything more out of that. But, you know, God of War hitting November 9th. The game is looking absolutely beautiful, dude.
Yes, and those Valkyries, just seeing them again, I was like, ooh, oh, shivers. No, they're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Because they're so hard, man. Mm-hmm. Those things were so hard. I remember going through and on PlayStation 5, I was like, oh, when I first got my PlayStation 5, I'll do another run through on God of War. And then I got to the Valkyries, and I was like getting the living daylights beat out of me. And I'm like, how did I beat these? What part of my human body was smart enough to have the dexterity to beat these guys? Because all they did was destroy me. And then when you saw the one little clip showed two of them that you had to fight, yep. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
God, it looked awesome.
I never fought the Valkyries. I didn't go in that direction again because I wasn't ready to be hurt. But yeah, this game looks beautiful. There's like a giant jellyfish. It looked like some sort of like space-time area too. Like, it looks unbelievable. I really hope that they take what they built with the first one and just crank it up to 11. I'm ready. My body is ready. We're less than 2 months out, Court. But
I'm still saying that we saw the ending of the game in that trailer somewhere. I feel when he ripped like space time and did that thing, he's like, did you shoot the moon? I don't know, man. That's like the end of the game.
You might be onto something. You might be onto something, or if not, at least close to the end of the game. But you know, we'll keep you all posted. State of play. At least we finally got one. We have some idea of what's coming sometime soon. I hope we get some more stuff because again, we still don't know too much in terms of PlayStation exclusive stuff coming imminently. You know, we didn't get too much out of that state of play that was, you know, here's a day and date, here's when these things are coming.
Well, God of War is like literally 2 months away, not even.
Yeah, but after that, it's like Forspoken, and then what?
Well, Hogwarts, I guess, even though that's not exclusive, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I'm hoping we start to see a little bit more from it because we did learn a little bit about some PlayStation stuff at the Nintendo Direct that happened earlier today, aka the Square Enix Farming Direct. You know, kudos to you and Ryan. I thought there were some real highlights there. I'm obviously incredibly excited for the sequel to Breath of the Wild, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, and Fire Emblem had me absolutely popping off. But we did get some PlayStation stuff hidden in here. So I'm going to be pulling from IGN from their Nintendo Direct article written by Adam Bankhurst. In terms of the PlayStation stuff that we can look forward to, Octopath Traveler 2 will be coming February 24th, 2023. Announced to hit the Switch, PC, PS5, and PS4 all launching on February 24th. So we know Octopath Traveler, you know, the first one when it initially came out was a Switch exclusive, eventually made its way to some other consoles. But this is hitting all over, surprisingly not Xbox, given that the game was on Game Pass, or is on Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass.
There you go. A little strange there, but super hyped on this one. I really, really liked the original. I you know, outside of the end game, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. I'm hoping that this one kind of, you know, they take a little bit from what they learned with the, you know, with the original and listen to some of the players and kind of tied these stories together in a little bit more, because it was strange in the original. Like, you have your party, you rock up to a cutscene, and everybody just disappears. It's like nobody was ever there to begin with. Octopath Traveler 2, do anything for you, Court?
No, not at all. These, I said it after the Nintendo Direct. None of these RPGs or anything. It was just like, all right, man. Like, I don't know. I think I'm like the only like PlayStation person that uses the console is like, yeah, I'm okay with the RPGs. I'll play them. But like, it was, all I saw was Ryan squealing in my ear. And then you, technically, I could hear you squealing in the comments. I was just like, oh my God, they're just in love right now on how much they're just getting RPG after RPG after RPG.
Yep, yeah, I was squealing for quite a few of them, including this one. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion, which was announced a few months back, announced to be coming December 13th, 2022. Dude, December, surprisingly stacked this year. Between Final Fantasy VII, Crisis Core, between Marvel's Midnight Suns and the Callisto Protocol, those first couple weeks of December have quite a bit going on.
Yeah, one game I want to play.
Right? But still, like, yeah. December is not...
Yeah, usually- no, they do. I think because of the pandemic, we're about to have months where we're just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's just like, okay, there's like 10 new games coming out. We're like, all right. We were complaining for the last 2 years. We're like, we have no games. And now this year, 2023 is going to be like the, oh my God, I don't have time to play all these games.
I just find it so interesting that, you know, traditionally December was that kind of dead zone. Because again, Black Friday's over. People have probably already bought stuff leading up to Christmas. There's not a lot of people buying new games in December. And to have three, I would say, pretty big titles hitting within 2 weeks of each other in December. Very interesting. I'm curious to see how this works out because, you know, Callisto Protocol is probably the last one on my list. I'm really hyped on Crisis Core and Marvel's Midnight Suns. So those two will be pickups faster for me than Callisto, but I still do want to play that. So
that's like number one stunner for me right there.
I know it is.
Like, oh my God, Dead Space is so good.
I know. I'm curious to try it out once it comes in January, because again, the onslaught doesn't stop.
You got Dead Space. Yeah.
The onslaught does not stop. Dead Space
in January.
There's so much going on. From what I can tell, those were the kind of big ones from the Nintendo Direct that were officially announced for PlayStation as well. So let's keep this train rolling, because we have another.
So we have a question. So because we've talked about both of these now,
yeah.
Naga Chaga asked, he actually put it into the Discord.
Okay.
What did we like better? The PlayStation State of Play or the Nintendo Direct? Who do you think had the better oomph? So I'll let you answer first.
See, for me, I think the State of Play. Just because I do think in this case, the runtime was sweet. It was concise. I thought the Nintendo Direct was solid. It being 40 minutes, there was a lot of that. I think there was just too many RPGs and too many farming games for one Direct. To space those out across partner Directs and this and so on, I think would have been a better call. Some fantastic games. Obviously, you know, Breath of the Wild 2, Fire Emblem are two games that I'm incredibly excited for. But for me personally, I think the State of Play just had a little bit more, again, a little bit more of a punch to it as it kind of ripped through 20 minutes. Like a Dragon Ishin, again, is a game I did not think that we'd actually get. That game is the highlight of the day for me, more so than Breath of the Wild 2, more so than Fire Emblem. That's a game that I've been looking forward to for a really long time. And then, of course, seeing more God of War is never a bad thing. Rise of the Ronin was cool. I think the State of Play was just, I think they set the expectations for it properly, while the Nintendo Direct being 40 minutes, being that, you know, that it's been that long between Directs, I think there was just a little bit more bloat to it than there needed to be. But what do you think, Court?
I think you're bang on. I thought the Nintendo Direct dragged on. I at some points was like, oh my God. And people were like, oh, they're into overtime. I'm like, oh, please just end this. Like, I because my biggest problem with the Nintendo Direct, it was just a bunch of the same game over and over again by different developers.
Yep.
And so at least with the PlayStation State of Play, it was a variety of different games.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the same game over and over again. Yes, I say the Nintendo Direct had the bigger awesome moment at the end with Breath of the Wild 2.
Yep.
Or sort of Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom. But for me, I'm more excited for God of War and Hogwarts Legacy and that Star Wars game than almost everything that I saw on the Nintendo Direct. I can't wait to play Tears of the Kingdom, but it's not going to be a day and date for me.
Are you telling me you're not excited to play the cloud version of Resident Evil 8?
Nope, I'm not excited to play any cloud version of any game. So it is what it is. So, but that's also, I'm not a primary Switch player. I have one, but that's more to play with my daughter. So my biggest takeaway from the Nintendo Direct was, wow, that SpongeBob SquarePants game is awesome. I can play with my kid.
It did look cool. I'll give you that much. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling, because we still have two more showcases to talk about. Coming from, once again, IGN, the Disney Marvel Games Showcase 2022. Again,
that'll be 2 seconds.
Right? Written by Adam Bankhurst. You know, we were hyping this one up, Court. I think we were both a little bullish on this for what it turned out to be. Let's rip through just some of the highlights. Obviously, I think the big one, the massive takeaway, Amy Hennig and Skydance New Media's new game with Marvel is a Captain America and Black Panther story set in World War II. We didn't get any sort of confirmation for platforms or anything, but you have to assume that this game will be coming to PlayStation. It's centered around Captain America as he's younger, and then Black Panther being T'Challa's grandfather. And then we also have Gabriel Jones, who's a U.S. soldier and a member of the Howling Commandos, and Anali, a leader of the fledgling Wakandan spy network. I thought the teaser was cool. I just wish that either they held this until we had some gameplay to go alongside it, or we got a little bit more out of it, because again, there was even worry right after. They're like, oh my gosh, is this another Avengers? There's four playable characters. What's going on? We do know it's a single-player, narrative-driven story, which is great. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the idea of this. I just wish we saw more of it.
Yeah, I think they announced it too early. I think it got announced because it was leaked, and they put out stuff. And that supposed Iron Man game that we're going to see later, probably at the Game Awards or whatever. I thought it was the only thing out of the showcase. The rest of the showcase was just whatever. It was a mobile game showcase. Let's be real here.
For me, like I said, I'm excited that Midnight Suns got their release date announcement, because it got delayed to whenever, and now we know it's hitting December 2nd. for new gen consoles and PC. We got an announcement for, you know, Tron Identity from Bethel Games, but we saw nothing of it really, just that it's coming 2023. Illusion Island, I actually do think looks cool. That's the Disney, basically Rayman Legends, where that has stars Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy. I think it looks cute. But that's coming to Nintendo Switch exclusively, so I'm going to backtrack that real quick. And then the rest of it, yeah, nothing really.
Yeah, we can move on. Yeah. We can, you know what?
Let's keep her going.
It was a Disney mobile showcase.
Yeah, the rest of it, whatever, things happened. And then finally, of course, the Ubisoft Forward that we got with a whole bunch of Assassin's Creed announcements. Assassin's Creed Affinity officially revealed with two new games, one being set in feudal Japan. Assassin's Creed Red was the one that's set in feudal Japan, and then we got Assassin's Creed codename Hex, which is apparently a very different type of Assassin's Creed. May feature witchcraft, and supposedly this one's supposed to be pretty dark.
Yeah, so it's made by the same people that made the witch section of the DLC for Valhalla. So you're expecting to be more of a, from what I read and went on Reddit, and I did some. I'm a big Assassin's Creed guy, so I did some digging on all these games. So for Red, it'll be part of Affinity, and so will Hex. We're not going to see them for a very long time, like 2024, it seems like. But Hex is going to be more of a dark, like it's the darkest they've ever gone in an Assassin's Creed game. We're going, and that's what Infinity is going to be about. We're going to get in these little games inside of a big game. So it's going to be these, I'm guessing, experiences almost. Like I'm going to throw it out there. We're only going to get 8-10 hour games, but you're going to get 2 a year type thing, which is great because we also got to see Mirage, which I'm extremely excited about. Extremely excited about how they're doing a different direction. We're not going to have the slog of a game like Valhalla that was, you know, 90 hours to play. And we even got more DLC for Valhalla. And I'm like, how is there any more of this game to play?
Yep. Speaking on Assassin's Creed Mirage, we do know that it's going to star Basim, who was in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, set in this game will be coming out in 2023, set in Baghdad 20 years before the events of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. They've also confirmed that it will be a smaller, more focused game, more focused on the stealth parkour and the assassinations that the franchise was built on.
Yeah, you can see in the trailer, like, there's a lot of parkour that he's doing in these little flips and so on and so forth. And they're saying it's like a 10 to 13 hour experience.
Perfect.
Depending on how you want to play the game.
Perfect. That is the most excited I've been for an Assassin's Creed in quite a long time. I miss that kind of old style gameplay of, you know, being an assassin. So I'm excited to see more of this 2023, you know, right around the corner. I have to ask though, Court, from those three, because those are the kind of three big ones in terms of coming.
And there was, I'll mention one before we get into Assassin's Creed, because they also talked about the Division 2. They brought in some DLC that is coming.
Right.
And they talked about a game that I'm very excited about that is Division Heartland.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually go onto Ubisoft's webpage right now and you can sign up for it. I already am. It was funny. The thing came out and I was like, oh, I clicked on it. I was like, oh, I've already done that. All right. I've already signed up for this. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, wait a second. Yes, I've may or may not have played the beta. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I've signed up for this. So Division Heartland is going to be a free-to-play Division game that all of us can play. There's going to PvPvE content where you're going to be able to go in and you're going against other teams and so on and so forth. But you can also play a PvE where you can go in and just do resource farming. So you're not getting destroyed every 2 seconds like you're trying to build up your character. So there's two sections to the game, and then there's going to be expansions that come to the game. So that's the biggest. And then there was Skull and Bones, but...
Eh.
Exactly. I feel bad for Skull and Bones. You're coming out and God of War is like Calliope. Like, it's over. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
No one's playing Skull and Bones.
And especially that they announced that the, you know, their new new gen titles started with Skull and Bones are going to be the $10 more expensive.
I would love to talk about that because I don't care. I think this is like a thing that we're making a big deal about,
but
for no reason.
For me, why start with Skull and Bones? That game is already,
they have no choice.
That game is already being sent out to die. Like, just eat the costs, but like, make it more affordable. So
eat the cost.
100%.
I don't think they can. They can't afford to.
Ubisoft can't afford to? I don't believe that.
Well, I'm still of the mind that digital games should be cheaper than physical copies.
I agree.
And if you want a physical copy, you should be paying for it. But if you look at the amortization of these games from when we started paying for them $100 in the early 90s and so on and so forth, games haven't really gone up that much. But the money and everything that goes into making these games has.
Mm-hmm.
So I am totally okay with them putting whatever price they want to put on their games. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like out here in Canada, we're talking 70, it's $90. Let's be real here.
$89.99
plus tax. So this game is going to be $94 with tax. Like it's going to be an expensive game. So you know what? If you don't like it, it's a Ubisoft game. 3 months from now, it'll be like $20.
Probably. Yeah, I just feel like it's just a weird step to start with a game that's already doomed. That's my thing.
Yet Assassin's Creed Mirage is $64.99.
There you go. Canadian. Again, being a shorter experience. So let me ask you this, Court, because we got Mirage, we got Red, and we got Hex. Out of those three, which one are you most excited about?
Honestly, Mirage, because it's coming sooner. Mm-hmm. But for gameplay style and something different, I'm very excited to see what Red brings to the table, because I'm going to guess that that's going to be a stealth, but more of a blood and guts, like, because you're going to be using a samurai sword for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Hex is going to be more story-driven, crazy. A lot of in Valhalla, we had a lot of times where we drank the potion and then we went to Valhalla.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to go do all these. I think Hex is going to be revolved around that. And especially if you do any of the fighting sequences that are in Valhalla with the witches, you're this smoke and it changes your perception of what you're seeing. So I have a funny feeling it's going to be that type of section for Hex.
Right.
I'm very intrigued on what we're going to get from Infinity and how they're going to give us these different playthroughs of different styles and different segments of history.
Mm-hmm.
But Mirage is coming first, so I'm very interested to see it and see that if they can go back to their roots, then I'm very happy, because there is a rumor, and it's just a rumor as of right now in the Ubisoft circles, that we will be getting Assassin's Creed 1 again.
Yeah,
like that's going to be remake. We've had Assassin's Creed 3, we've had all the remakes, and we're getting a remake of Assassin's Creed 1 that will release later on with Mirage.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think Mirage, I'm very excited about the idea of. I think that game is really going to be kind of like the testing barrier for a lot of people to see what Assassin's Creed is going to be kind of moving forward. I'm sure we're going to kind of, you know, oscillate between the smaller, tighter experiences and, again, the big open world stuff that we've come to expect with Origins and with Odyssey and Valhalla. I'm curious to see where on the spectrum Red and Hex will fall, because I think there were rumors that Red was kind of going to be the big action RPG. And then, you know, Hex, we'll see what happens with it. But again, I am curious to see more of Mirage. I am curious to see just kind of how that gameplay has evolved, because it's been a minute since we've had that kind of experience with Assassin's Creed. But overall, dude, you know, we got the Ubisoft forward. We got Disney Marvel. We got the State of Play, and we got the Direct. Which one was your favorite? Let me ask you this to round out the show.
For me, it was definitely the Ubisoft forward, just because those games speak to me more. Mm-hmm. Two of my favorite franchises were shown in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be the State of Play, because we got God of War, because that's another game. Like, if I'm just going off what my excitement levels are.
Yeah.
And then it's Nintendo. And then last but certainly least is the Disney showcase, where I was just like, I think they hyped it too much.
Yes.
Yeah. And to do just this, and it was just all mobile stuff, I was just like, what? Like, they showed us what, five games maybe that we can play, and the rest were just all on your phone. And they went into depth on these mobile games, and I'm like, ugh.
Yep. I
read the room. I don't think we'll see something like that from them again.
I feel like, yeah, with the amount of flack they caught for it, and again, especially using the Disney name, using the Marvel name, but like they did, I feel like, generate a lot of hype for it. Yep. And then again, obviously expectations ran away on top of everything else. I do think that was the weakest for me. I think I would go State of Play, Direct, Ubisoft, and then the Disney Marvel Showcase, just because, again, just the level of excitement that some of these games hit me with. But
yeah, what it speaks to you.
What a great week, dude, in terms of, like, we got like E3 2.0 this week with so much going on. We have the RGG Showcase coming up. We have TGS, so I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about next week. Court, this has been wonderful. Thank you for reacting live with me. Thank you for having these wonderful conversations. But before we go, if people wanted to find more of you, where could they do so?
They can find me at Cortland on Twitter, or you can find me at Carpool Gaming on all social media platforms.
On all of the platforms, make sure you go check Cort out. As for myself, you can find me over at Burnout_Matt on Twitter and at youtube.com/BurnoutBrighter every week as we talk about all things video games, mental health, and social justice. And once again, we didn't get too many questions this week just because it was an impromptu show as the State of Play went live. Seriously. But normally, if you want to ask questions, hop over to the Discord, hop over to the YouTube, let us know on Twitter when the question post goes live to be included in the show. So once again, thank you for watching, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Later. As always, we love to thank our Patreon supporters, and I want to start off with our ultimate producers, Robbie Bobby Miller, Tony Baker from Quest 4 Pixels. Please subscribe to youtube.com/Quest4Pixels today. Dallas Ford, co-host of The Blaine Game. Support Dallas on YouTube to get these guys to 100 subs. Emily O'Kelly, Trucker Sloth, Jonathan Brown. The new episode from PME is called Gems and is available on Spotify and Apple Music. Lee Navarro, the fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team. And honestly, Carpool Gaming's tech support. Links are all in the show notes. Please support these ultimate producers. Platinum producers, Marcus McCracken, RJ Kern and Skinny Matt. Gold members, Anna W., Cicely Caruso, Dallas Robbins, Daroesh, Foolish Fuji, Jose Jimenez, Marcus O'Neill, Nagachaka, and the Snack Network. Also, I want to thank our newest patrons, Sean Hennigan and Ryan Craig. Also, I want to thank Tim Paulin for upgrading to Gold Member. Thank you very much.